Hello and welcome to the original, the only podcast of its kind for the Quantum Grammar Shoot, a podcast that talks about the grammar technology known as correct sentence structure, communication, parsing, syntax, grammar, i.e. quantum grammar, and how it relates to everyday life and current events. And I am your host, Colin Jason Knife and Matthew Colin Glass. This is a podcast of opinion, where I share my thoughts on a psychological level of how one would use this technology navigating through everyday now space and other related subjects. Hope you enjoy. Today is the closing of the contest for the gift of the workshop. And when one thinks of what the word contest means, when you parse the word, it just means together with the test. It doesn't really mean competition, although in the fiction sense that we've all been brought up to think of it in that sense, that it is a competition, there are winners and losers. I don't think that I ever used those words in any of the marketing materials that I used, or advertising, or however you want to say it, promotional materials for the gift of the workshop. And that's one of the things I was looking for when the emails came in applying for this gift of the workshop. Looking at the language that each individual used, not only that, but also the demeanor and just basically how they approached me. And a lot of people did use the word free and winning. And that is an understandable position, in that when people see the word gift, they think free, right? And if they're entering a contest, they think of winners and losers, which is not the case in this scenario at all. It's just someone who's fortunate that I choose out of a batch of emails that I get, whom I think lines up with the correct psychology to approach success in learning this grammar, not only learning it, but also using it in real life, quote unquote. And I can tell right away when someone writes me, when they say what their volition is behind learning this grammar. And they talk about being deceived by the system. They talk about stopping and correcting the system. It's now their duty to do this and that for the system. Now, it's up to each individual as to what they think their duty is. But to think that your duty is to stop and correct someone else is not correct cogitation. It's not correct thinking. Who made you an authority to do that? The only time a correction need occur is if someone is trespassing upon you personally. And then you would use force to stop and correct them, whatever that would mean, because they're harming you. Literally. So that's what I mean by the psychology of this and how it works. And of course, I get people talking about they want to teach their children, which I find very admirable. They want to teach others. But first, one must get oneself correct before one can help others follow down the same path. Not follow, but to travel down the same path of being correct. At least as correct as one can be with the depth of their knowledge. And to think that one is going to go around forcing others to be correct because it's their duty is not correct cogitation. It's not correct thinking. Because if one is going to do that, then one is no better than the fiction system that one thinks is against oneself. That may have sounded like a mouthful. So go around thinking that you're going to tell other people and boss people around about how to be correct with their grammar and force them to do that is the same thing that the fiction system does to you and I. By forcing us to, you have to, this mandate and that mandate, you have to do this in order to go here. I'm not going to go any further into that. But it's the same principle. And not a correct principle. Put this podcast out today, which is October 18th, 2021, but there still is now space left to get your entry in if you want to enter the contest for the gift of the 1 hour video workshop. The way to enter that would be to send me an email at jasonmatthewg17@gmail.com and just detail to me, to the best of your knowledge, briefly, why it is you want to learn correct sentence structure, communication, parsing, syntax, grammar. And then, of course, at the bottom of the email, you would put your correct name to the best of your knowledge to take authority over your words. I am astounded at the number of people who do not do this. And that is why people think that the email venue is just, it's not important. It's not a contracting venue. The only thing that's a contracting venue has a stamp on it. The only thing that's a contracting venue is what I say it is. For me. Same thing with you. If I say my email port is a contracting venue, then that's what it is. And if you disagree, then of course you wouldn't email me, would you? Because contract is by consent. And if you do not consent to my contract of my email address being a contracting venue, then why would you even try to board the vessel or come into the port? It doesn't make sense, does it? It doesn't make sense to email me and then act as if you're just going to ignore my terms and conditions. It would be like you... Okay, let me change it around. It would be like me coming to your house and you saying, okay, you got to take your shoes and your hat off to come in my house. And I'd just barge in your house and say, with my shoes and hat on, and say, no. Not only am I going to come in your house, but I'm going to wear my shoes, I'm going to wear my hat, and I'm going to drag dog shit all over your floor. How about that? That is how some people act. Sometimes. Very rude. Very aggressive. And I got to say, most of them come from the North American continent. And I'm talking about North America. I'm not just talking about the past tense United States. I'm also talking about Canada. Unfortunately, that's just been my experience over the past few years with the majority of the people that contact me from those areas. That's how they act. Most of them, thankfully, when I put them in check, understand and apologize. But of course, some of them don't. And that's just the fiction system that tells me who and what they are by the way they react to my terms and conditions. Getting back to the contest, another thing I look for is motivation. If someone approaches me and tells me something like, well, you know, I really want to learn this, but I don't really have the value to maintain the rule one, rule equal performances, blah, blah, blah. That tells me, okay, this individual is not motivated to learn this. Because when I was learning it, I did everything to the extent of my will and my power and my resources to put value into it, because I realized that what you put in is what you get out. So I made sure that stuff was there for the rule one, rule equal. I tried the best that I could, also keeping in mind my tutor or the videos or whatever was going on, to try and be cognizant and conscious of the rule one, rule equal performance. So if I see someone that emails me that says they're willing to do what it takes to learn this, that sets off a bell in my head, like, well, this person might be serious. Unfortunately, again, the majority of people that contact me that convey such sentiments don't really mean it, judging by their performances. And that's how we judge people, is by their performances. What do they actually do? How do they do it? Do they do what they say they're going to do? Do they try? It's very simple. To add just a little bit more material to what I was saying about North America, i.e. the Western quote-unquote world, and how my experience with the majority of people that have contacted me from that area has been, it's in line with the way, for example, the United States treats other countries in the world. They just barge into these other countries and say, hey, you need democracy, i.e. we need your natural resources, or whatever it is they're doing. It's the same attitude with these quote-unquote patriots, people that claim to be patriots. I myself do not claim to be a patriot because I'm not patronizing anyone, nor do I wish to be patronized. So we'll leave that there. This does not go into my own personal view and construct of how I navigate my biosphere through the sea of space, because I claim peace and neutrality. And I mean that when I say that. I'm not sitting here saying that I claim peace and neutrality, and then when you flip a coin, all of a sudden I change and I start saying things like, I am the war, and blah, blah, blah. I'm a nice guy, but I'll beat the crap out of you, or whatever. No, that's not what I'm saying at all. I'm saying I'm peaceful and neutral, and I feel like that the cycle of war has been perpetrated throughout history. To the best of my knowledge, that's how things have always been, and that's how things are always going to be for those people who exhibit the attitude that I just shared with you, where they say one thing out the side of their mouth and then another thing out the other side of their mouth, and it just zeros each other out and no change happens. Nothing positive happens. It just stays the same or gets worse. That's why I say look at the quantum grammar construct from when it first came out a couple decades ago till now. How has the Earth benefited from it? Like, has the fiction system lightened its stranglehold? Have things gotten better? Right now, in this now space juncture, are things better than they were 20 years ago? Or are they worse? Now, perhaps you might want to use this to measure what has actually occurred. And this brings it back to my thought that the only way one can quote-unquote change, and I'm using this in a fiction sense, not in a modification sense, like the saying, be the change you want to see in the world. Exactly. When one implements these things for oneself and becomes autonomous, these things do happen for oneself. But they don't happen for everybody, because each individual has to do that themselves. No one can do it for them. If they're adults, mature adults, who can make their own choices. That's my experience with how it works. I've seen it with firsthand knowledge, and I've experienced it with firsthand knowledge. That is how it works. These groups out there that claim you need their thumbprint for their authority to do this or that or the third, what change have they brought through their little systems of having their pay-to-play systems, their authoritarian constructs? It's basically the same thing as the fiction. The same exact thing. When you go to get a license, what is a license? It's a paid permit to do something that would otherwise be illegal, right? If you don't have a driving license, you're going to get pulled over by a cop, and the cop is going to say, "Where's your license?" If you don't have a license, you're going to get a ticket. You could go to jail. It's the same thing with these quantum grammar constructs that say you have to have this live life claim with this thumbprint on it and this autograph on it. Otherwise, you're going to get in trouble. It's the same thing. That's what I've been saying for so long, that these constructs, for whatever reason, have migrated to complete fiction. That's not what I'm about. That's not what this contest is about. It's about autonomy. It's about taking the time, i.e. investing the now space and the value for the maintenance of the rule one, rule equal, to learn this grammar for oneself so that one may be autonomous and hold a position of fact. And the grammar is the most important part. It's the foundation. If you try to build a house or a construct without a solid foundation, what's going to happen? It's like the fiction system was built from the get-go on a poisonous, rotten, crooked brick, or whatever it is that started the construct, the foundation. Therefore, every brick you put into it after that, it doesn't matter what the volition of the brick is, it's still going to be crooked because the foundation sucks. It's rotten to the core. Now, I'm not saying that those individuals that come into the fiction system with good volition, that they want to do good for people, I'm not going to say that they fail in any which way, but at some point, those individuals have to know in their head, this system is abusive. And what happens when you keep participating in an abusive relationship? Abuse continues to happen, and you're perpetrating it. You're enabling it by participating with it. So at some point, I would think that individual has to come to a choice. Do I continue to participate with this BS? Or do I do something outside of it? Stop participating with the abusive relationship. The abuse stops. Or lessens. And then you take lesson, I mean L-E-S-S-E-N. And then you take steps to educate yourself in how to stop any trespass or any backlash or retribution or revenge that the system might want to take on you. Because that's what happens in abusive relationships also. The abuser gets angry and wants to punish you for hurting them by cutting ties. But if they turn around and see that all of a sudden, now you have an army of knowledge with you and you know what you're doing, they're just going to let you go because they don't want to take any damage. They're the ones used to doing the damage. They don't want to take any damage, so they're just going to leave you alone. They might take little pot shots at you here and there just to see what you're doing if you're on your toes, but that's it. They're just going to leave you alone. And I'll just leave it with that analogy here at the end. That's my personal experience anyways. Also, I'm not going to try and leave anybody with any sort of fairy tale illusions. The fiction system is constant. The now space is constant. And the fiction system is constant. The fiction never fails to keep coming up with more fictions. It's relentless. From my knowledge, it will never leave anyone alone. That's why this grammar is so great and awesome, because when you get to the point where you can use it at the drop of a hat, it's like walking around with a force field. Yeah, the fiction's going to try and throw something. They're going to lob a Molotov cocktail at you, but it's just going to blow up in your outer atmosphere. It's not going to really touch you. It's going to be like somebody trying to, I don't know, a wisp of wind blowing your hair. Oh, look, another Molotov cocktail. How you doing over there? And it doesn't hurt anything. Because you're constantly vigilant, you have your protections in place, your safeguards in place, and you can navigate safely and confidently through the sea of space with this stuff. So I'd like to end it on this positive note. Feel free to email me, jasonmatthewg17@gmail.com. After today, the contest is over. But that doesn't mean you can't email me with your grammar questions or to apply for a confidential workshop. Thank you.